I'm taking a risk and leaving it all, not knowing what I'll go through. But I'm not alone as long as I follow you. So when my life's a leap of faith, I can hear you say, well done, well done. I'm gonna chase you, Lord, I'm gonna show the world your love. Whoa, I'll run. I'm gonna run this race to hear you say, well done. If people walk with me, talk with me, looking for truth, they're gonna find out soon. If they're following me, then they're gonna follow you. So let my life speak loud and clear, Lord, I wanna hear, well done, well done. I'm gonna chase you, Lord, I'm gonna show the world your love. Whoa, I'll run. I'm gonna run this race to hear you say, well done. I'm so glad that I get to serve you, Lord. You're the only one I'm living for. Whoa, and I'm gonna run straight into your open arms. I'm gonna follow you with my whole heart.
Was awesome. I'm gonna tell you what. I don't know whoever else has got a youth group like this. Well, I think Hiram's got them all beat right now so far. And let me tell you, you sure can.
In the funeral home, we had two or three youth. We started with two or three youth. God is good.
All the time. Amen. We got Brother Robert's going to come and sing for us now this morning, and then the choir's going to do a song. So y'all just sit back and enjoy, because this fiction's just getting better and better from here.
I'm telling you, man. Brokenhearted, trying to calm the raging battles in my mind. In search of many answers that my troubled soul just couldn't seem to find. I saw a flower blooming where there was no rain or sunshine. God, knowing that this flower would change the rest of my life. I found a lily in my valley. I found strength when I was worn. I found a place to leave my burden. I found refuge from the storm. A place where I could trade my dark skies for beaming rays of sun. I found a lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time. So if you're down and brokenhearted, and you just can't seem to find the peace of mind, you're looking for your answers, and your troubles just get worse all the time. Just lift your hand to Jesus, he'll take you and he'll break the ties that bind. He'll be your lily in your valley, and you can watch him bloom all the time. He'll be your lily in your valley. He'll be your strength when you are worn. He'll be a place to leave your burden. He'll give you refuge from the storm. A place where you can trade your dark skies for beaming rays of sunshine. He'll be your lily in your valley, and he'll bloom all the time. I found a lily in my valley. I found strength when I was worn. I found a place to leave my burden. He gave me refuge from the storm. A place where I could trade my dark skies for beaming rays of sun. I found a lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time. I found a lily in my valley, and he blooms. Thank you, Jesus.
this pass from me. Watch the soldiers gather round him in this dark Gethsemane. See him stand before old Pilate. Hear the crowd cry, crucify. Watch our blessed Savior suffer. See him bow his head and die. Watch them take his bleeding body. See them lay him in the tomb. Watch them wrap him in the grave clothes. They anoint him with perfume. Now they'll wait, they'll watch. Though they knew he had to die, and while they waited for his promise, Christ was very much alive. See him take the keys of Satan, watch him shake the gates of hell. The fountain start to swell. See him rise upon that morning, on that third appointed day. Watch him come in clouds of glory. See him take his church away. Soon he'll come in clouds. Church away. See him take the keys of Satan. Watch him shake the gates of hell. See him loose the chains of darkness. Watch the fountain start to swell. Church away. Soon he'll come in clouds of glory. See him take his church away.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Great to be saved. I enjoy coming to church. You know, it don't take much to get my fire started. We was in Sunday school this morning, and I was sitting there, and I was a little twitchy. Kendra said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Well, if you had to go over and preach to a house full of people, you'd be twitchy too, okay?" But I want to tell you, it's about the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about us. If you ever get to the point, you get behind this pulpit and you think you got it figured out, you don't need to be behind. You know, I was sitting there this morning, and I really appreciate Brother Tom and Brother Larry teach Sunday school class. That's one I go to. I don't go over every Sunday. I'll think, well, where's he at? Well, I'm over here twitching. I'm trying to make sure I got what God wants. Sometimes, you know, it comes quicker than others, but I enjoyed Sunday school. I was sitting there listening this morning, and every now and then I'd go, That's, you know, when God would begin to move. It's good to be in a house where you can feel it. It's good to have something that you can feel. Now, you're not saved by your feelings, okay? But we're saved by the truth of the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad I have something I can feel. If I didn't feel it, I'd wonder where it was at. Now, if you're here this morning and you're looking at us, what's wrong with them people? We're saved by the grace of God. We're on our way to heaven, and we're not ashamed to tell the world about it. And sometimes I say this, and I mean this, I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than at the Super Bowl. And people say, well, not me. Well, I really have. There's nothing I'd rather be. Before y'all call me to pastor this church, I'm going to tell you, I used to ride up and down the road. I'd see little churches, and that's where my heart was at. You know, my heart wasn't in owning my own business. It wasn't in doing this or that. It was in serving the Lord. Why? Because I want to see God move in what I saw move in the youth choir this morning. I want to see God move in a service to where people hear the word of God and come down the aisle and it'll change their life. You know why people sit still when the altar call comes? They're afraid God will jump on them, change their life, and they'll never be the same. This morning, if you got your Bible, Matthew chapter number 16, I'm not going to hold you too long, but if God moves, it won't seem like it's long, okay? But in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 26, and then in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 37, I want to preach a thought that God gave to me. And here's the question, what are you trading for your soul? And I want to tell you a quick story while you're finding your scripture there. I was at work a couple of years ago. And there was a young man that I worked with there that was going through some difficult times. And I'll tell you, he had some challenges. And I was trying to talk to him, and he really just wanted to talk to me a little bit. And as we began to talk, and he was questioning me about some things that he was going through and decisions, he looked at me, and water filled up his eyes. And this is what he said. He said, I don't want to do anything that would damage my soul. And I want to tell you, this young man, he's not in church. He hadn't been in a long time. He's got a story behind that. But I thought, that's wise. I wish people in the world today could get that figured out. That we're not just here and then we live our lives and then it's over. We're a body and a soul and a spirit. And one place or another, you're going to live in eternity. Either with God in the paradise of God or separated from God. And he understood that fully, and he knew the gravity of the decisions that he was making. Now, if you got your Bible to your place, would you stand with me and let's just read the Word of God and we'll pray and I'll try to deliver to you what God's given me. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And here's the question, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall you trade or exchange for your soul? Then in Mark chapter 8, this is a parallel verse. Just want to read it to you out of Mark's gospel. It says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful to be in your house. Oh God, we're so thankful for the sweet spirit we've felt. Thank you, Lord, for these youth that have sang and for Savannah and Lord, for Brother Robert and Lord, for the choir. Lord, we're so thankful for people following the spirit. Lord, we just praise you when that happens. We can't do it. We can't create it. We can't work it up. But God, we're so thankful when you send it down. God, we pray that you'd see in this morning in this message exactly the words that you want us to say. God, enrich us, fill our hearts and our minds, and loose us and let us go this morning. God, that the word would be brought, that somebody, maybe, Lord, that doesn't know you, that doesn't understand, that doesn't enjoy it like we do, would be able to find a relationship with a living God, and their life would be changed. Lord, for all you do and all you're going to do, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you, what are you trading for your soul? And I want to give you the 3 points that have come on my heart as I begin to sit and study about this. Number one, provision has been made. And number two, provision rejected. And then number three, opportunity passed. And when we get to that last one, I really want you to pay attention to that. But you know, number one, provision has been made. We're here this morning in a church because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe, just like they sang, you know, he went to a tomb for you and I. He died on a cross between two thieves and suffered things that really were mine. It belonged to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, here's the provision that has been made, is that Jesus has paid the high price for all of your sins. Everything that you've ever done, everything that you'll ever do, Jesus Christ went to a cross and he died on that cross so that you would not have to die. So that you would not have to spend eternity separated. So that you could have a provision made so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. You see, God did everything that needed to be done for man to be saved. So, you know, there's enough grace, I believe, to save the whole world. There's enough love to save the whole world. There's enough mercy. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, or who you did it to. God can help you if you'll just come to Him. I believe that with all my heart. You know, I don't get what I deserve because Jesus took my place. And I'm getting some things that I don't deserve because I went down to an altar. And I heard a preacher preaching it. You know, God spoke to me and let me know that it belonged to me. You know, when we come into the house of the Lord, and I like it when we worship. I like it when we begin to lift up praise to the Lord. It's not everywhere. It's not every religion that anything like this goes on. It's about Him. And I thank the Lord that when the gospel was preached and I went down to an altar and I got up, folks, I've never been the same. Never been the same. Doesn't mean I've been perfect. Doesn't mean I've always done everything right. But I've never been the same because I met a living God. See, provision's been made. Jesus paid the high price for your sin. And He paid the high price, and here's what I believe God's doing right now. You know, God is pleading for every person that can and that will to be saved before the end. You see, it's His mercy, I believe, with all my heart, that's got His hand stayed on this country. Sometimes people say, well, you know, if God's a God of mercy, why is He allowing all of these things in the world to go on? Why doesn't He come back? Why hasn't He stopped it? I want you to know that the Scripture teaches that it's the long-suffering of the Lord that has got us here today. It's the prayers of the righteous. It's the mothers that are praying for their children. It's the women that are praying for their lost husbands that's keeping Jesus Christ. God pled for Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 13, verse 34, He stood before Jerusalem and He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth her gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. He pled for Jerusalem. He stood before them. You know, sometimes I wonder, as He's talking about your children, you know, there's a reason why I come to the house of the Lord. I like to worship, but I want to tell you something. When I say I love my children, I really love my children. And I don't know why this is coming, but God just showed me this. If you love your children, you ought to have them in the house of God. God's pleading for you now. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28 and 30. He spoke to him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the latter part of this verse is where we have the trouble. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, God can help you, but you got to come to God on God's terms. And here's the problem that people have. Everybody wants God's help. You know, I got a truck that the gas can don't work. I've learned that I go down the road now, I got a gallon gas can, Brother Billy. And when I get gas, I make sure that gallon gas can is full because sometimes I don't get it exactly right. You know, that's the way a lot of people want to do the Lord. You know, I want you to help me, God. I want you to move in my life, but just don't ask me to follow you and bow down. God wants to be number one in your life. He wants to be king. And people don't come to Him because they don't want Him to be king. But I want you to understand, provision's been made. God's done everything He can do. He's moved in every way that He can. There's nothing more could be done for you to be saved that hadn't already been done. Okay, here's what I want you to understand. God wants to save you. God wants to heal the troubles and hurts in your life. God wants to transform all the pain that you have. God wants to pardon all the shame. He wants you to bring all of your guilt and lay it right here and understand that when He forgives you and you get up, He's not going to throw it back at you again. The world does that. And when it's brought to you and you hear it whispered, let me tell you, it's not coming from God. That's the devil, the slew foot, as it was said this morning, the accuser of the brethren that's coming to you trying to keep you from realizing the grace that God wants to pour on you. And He does. He wants to renew your life. And here's what renewal means. When God renews and He quickens and makes alive, everything in your life before you met Him is gone. And there's scripture in the Bible that talks about the sea of forgetfulness. Okay, and I want to tell you this real quickly. There's more known about outer space than there is the depths of the sea. You study it and you'll see that when it goes down there, nobody can get it back out. He said, as far as the east is from the west, He said, I'll move it behind my back. He will not bring it back up. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Alive. Alive. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to be a Christian because it's just, you know, you just a boring life. I'm not bored. By the way, I'm having a great time. I love to preach. I love to be in Sunday school. I do. I love Brother Tom's teaching. I love Brother Larry's teaching. I love to hear preaching. I love to hear singing. Brother Jimmy, I love your preaching this morning. I just love it when people begin to talk about the goodness of God. I like it. He's done it for us, okay? But although all this has been done, so many people reject. Number two, provision, rejected. See, a person who has traded their soul for the world, they're going to say things like this. They're going to say, I'm just not ready to surrender. You see, the question, the message title is, what are you trading for your soul? See, the scripture says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? They'll say, well, I'm just not ready to surrender. I'm not ready to give this up. I'm not ready to give my friends up. You know, it was mentioned this morning, this church is very involved with the prison ministry. And Brother Tom, they go up there three times a week and they minister up there and we have Celebrate Recovery. And he mentioned a man this morning that was in prison for 2 years. And he asked him, he said, in the 2 years that you've been here, have any of those, quote, friends been to see you? You know, Brother Ricky was in the hospital and they said y'all was about to have a meeting up there and they asked you to go to the break over to the break room. I'm so thankful that when you come to meet the Lord and you meet God's family, you got a friend in Jesus that sticks closer to than a brother, and you got a real family in the house of God. But people say, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to give up my sin. I'm just not ready to give up my will and surrender to God's will. See, when He said, come unto me and take my yoke upon you. That's when you surrender your will to God's will. People just aren't willing to do that. They're not willing to come to the Lord on God's terms. They're not willing to take their heart and say, Lord, here it is. I've made a mess of it. I've done everything I can do. I've tried everything I know to do, but I can't do it by myself. They're just not willing to give it to God. And until you get willing to give it to God, you're never going to be made new because you can't make up the terms that you come to God on. You must come to God on God's terms. So I'm not ready to surrender my life for His life. Or they might say something like this. I'm just not ready to turn loose of this world. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, the scripture says, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, Scripture tells us plainly, we can't love God and love the world. Doesn't mean that we don't enjoy the world. I want to tell you something, folks. I don't know anybody that enjoys the world any more than I do. Okay, let me get that right for you, okay? Because here's what I want you to understand. God has something for you, okay? And everything that the devil offers you is a counterfeit to what God really has for you. Okay? What God wants to do is He wants to make you young men so in love with your wife that you'll be absolutely satisfied. He wants to make you want to do the right thing that no matter what it costs, you'll do it. He wants you to understand that He put the sunrise outside to come up in the morning for you to be able to see it and enjoy it. But how many people really do? See, I don't go through life saying, oh, woe is me, I'm a Christian. You know what I go through life saying? Praise God, I'm a Christian. But if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You see, here's the day and time that we're living in, and I'm not like this. And I just all I know to do is preach what God gives me. I'll tell you why, how I preach. I preach the way I want somebody to preach to my kids. Because I want them to know there's a standard, there's a God that has not changed. You can find a church just like you want. It's out there. You know, and what they've done is they've made them a God like they used to in the Old Testament. See, they used to find a piece of wood that wouldn't rot. And they'd carve them a God out of it, and they'd overlay it with gold. And they'd set it up and they'd worship it, just like if we were looking at this plant right here. And it had just, that's about how much power it had too, by the way. But what they did is they made a God that had all the characteristics that they wanted. And they would bow to it and they'd pray to it. And you could read over there where they were crying out to Baal that he had dropped fire from heaven. And old Elijah was laughing at them. And they cut themselves and jumped on the altar. But people today are doing the same thing with the Word of God. Rather than accepting it for what it says and rather than being willing to surrender to the will and the authority of the Word of God, they want to make God up into something that suits them. God has not changed and He's not going to change. And until we come on God's terms, we won't be saved. See, I'm not ready to surrender. I'm not ready to turn loose of this world. And then this one, I cannot surrender all. You know, many times people come to the altar and all of us got baggage. We're carrying it and we've got our burdens and we've got our troubles and we come and we ask God to help us. But so many times we take it to lay it on the altar and we pray and when we get up, we pick it up. So be careful about judging others around you because we all do that. But you know, the problem today is people aren't willing to surrender all to follow Jesus. C.S. Lewis wrote, and this is a quote. He said, the problem with Christianity is not that it has been tried and found wanting, but that it has been found difficult and left untried. You see, to follow the Lord means you lay down your life and you take up His life. It means you come to Him and you lay down all your burdens, but He said, take my yoke upon you for my burden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another place He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life and takes up his cross, he'll find it. You see, what we ought to do is seek to be fully, completely surrendered to a living God. But you say, I cannot surrender all. There's a song that says, I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender all. You know, you won't be saved until you surrender all. And that's why I believe in the day and time that we're living in, people are satisfied with so many things and things in the world, they don't see a need for Jesus. That's why you can go to the prison, Brother Tom, and we had 7 saved last Wednesday night, 17 saved the week before that. Because they realize there's a need. You got to realize you got a need. You see, you have. God's done everything He could do. Then you have provision rejected. But what about the time that's coming? You see, one thing I realize every week, I don't know if I'm going to be here the next week or not. I think about that. You know, they were talking in Sunday school this morning and they were talking about Brother Tom mentioned. I hope you don't mind, brother, but it impacted me. They were talking about being in a plane and coming out over the Potomac River, one of the engines going out on the plane. You've heard those saying, there's no non-believers in a foxhole. I thought, as he said, there's no non-believers in a plane that's going down. And people begin to pray and they begin to, you know, rustle around. And you know, I've been on those planes where you hit those air pockets and it drops about 50 feet and the seatbelt grabs you and things are falling out on you and your hearts are flying. You know what I think? I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be scared to death. But you know what I think about when I get in those times? I'll be honest with you. I think about my wife and my kids. I want them to make sure they're all right. See, when I leave this walks of life, I am going to be with God. My dad's there. My sister's there. I got grandparents there. There's a lot of preachers that I grew up with, Brother Tommy, that I'm ready to see. Brother Quinn's up there, and I never got to hear him preach here, but I cannot help but believe that when you get in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to keep your mouth shut. I just can't help it. That's just the way I feel. But it's not going to be a great day for everybody. See, when opportunity has passed, it'll be eternity without God if you don't know Him. You see, in the Scripture, we'll read it again. What's it profited if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see, in Luke chapter 16, I want to flip over and read to you. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. See, there was a rich man, the Scripture says, and I'm not going to read all the Scripture. They'll put it up here, but it's in chapter 16, verse 19. It says there was a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. That means he had more than he needed. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, laid at the gate full of sores, and he desired to eat from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. But there was a difference between the two. Even though the rich man had much, he didn't have God. And here's Lazarus. He didn't have much on this side, but he knew the Lord. You know, sometimes you can't judge a book by what you see on the outside, because you might pass by somewhere and it looked like everything's there, but on the inside there's turmoil. And here's Lazarus. The Scripture says he died. And he was taken and he was carried and laid in Abraham's bosom. And then the Scripture says that the rich man, he died, and the Scripture said that in hell he did lift up his eyes. And he cried and he could see from a distance. And this is something when you read the Word of God, you begin to understand that those in hell will be able to see some of the goodness going on. But when we're in heaven, we won't be able to see them. Because it wouldn't be heaven, because the Scripture says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And a rich man, he said, would you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water, that he may put a drip of water on my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Then he asked something that was too late to do. He said, you know, if you can't do that, I've got five brothers. And would you please, we need something really, I need something to really impact my five brothers. It's almost like I know they've heard it before and I know they've had opportunity, but we need something really to impact them. Would you send Lazarus back from the grave and let him go and speak to my five brothers? And you know what the Scripture said? Say they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Because if they're not going to hear them, they're not going to hear if one rose from the dead. Let me tell you, Jesus rose from the dead. And he walked on this earth and he was seen multiple times of people, and they still tried to lie and say they stole his body. There's only one that rose from the dead for you and I. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, opportunity passed. Here's what's important. The time is now. Let me tell you how privileged we are to be in the house of God. We're so privileged to be here. To where there's singing and where there's preaching and where there's an altar that's always open and the call's going to go for you to have an opportunity to be saved. The time is now. Yes. You say, I'll wait till tomorrow, I'll wait till next week. The Holy Spirit may not be dealing with you next week. The time is now. And this is something I already know. You know, the altar call is the most important time of service. I hate to be in a church where they get up and the preacher goes to give the altar call and you see people start to leave. I just tell you, folks, that's the time you ought to be your stillest. It's time, if you're saved, you ought to be praying. It's the time that we ought to be seeking God. See, why? Because God's calling. See, I feel it in my heart. I feel it stirring in my soul that this message is not going out and landing nowhere. God's speaking to somebody's heart right now. And you know, that's a privilege. It's a privilege that He would do that. See, God's calling. And if you don't come while the Holy Spirit is calling, you won't be able to come when opportunity is passed. That's what happened to the rich man. He waited too long. You know, I'll be honest with you. There are things in my life, and I don't talk about this with my wife. She says, I don't want to hear it. But I say, I want to give you the combination to all my gun safes. I want to give you the information on my life insurance. I want to give you the name of the person that you call if something happens to me. I want to give you everything that you need to be taken care of if I'm not here. Because I want to be honest with you, folks, that's all I'm worried about. She says, well, don't talk that way. But is it not true? See, because what I don't want is opportunity to be passed. I may not be able to give her that information. That's why if there's anybody here that's been a blessing to you, you need to tell them. Amen. You need to tell them why you can, because you don't want to wait till opportunity's passed. Amen. But you know what the greatest thing is? You don't want to be in the house of God where the Spirit of God's moving, where God's speaking to your heart, and you walk out the door and you can't get saved tomorrow because God's withdrawn His Spirit from you, and He says to you, you've waited till opportunity was passed. That troubles my heart. See, if you reject Him when He calls, you may not be able to find Him when you need Him. Brother Richard, if you would come on and get that song. But you know, Jesus prophesied to the Jews, and He spoke to them, because when He stood before them and He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a mother hen doth her brood under her wings? They rejected Him. There were times they tried to kill Him, but He was able to slip away because it wasn't the time. Wasn't the way. But eventually they took Jesus and they scourged Him. They put stripes on Him. And they led Him up Golgotha's hill, down the way of sorrows. And they hung Him on a cross. And He, you know what held Him to the cross? It was His love for me and you. See, if He's really God, and I believe that He is, the Scripture said He could have called for 12 legions of angels. They could have came and delivered Him. But He did it in a human body. You know what that means? That means when they drove the spikes through His wrists and through his feet, He felt it. When they drove the crown of thorns down on His head and the thorns began to pierce into His scalp, very tender part of your body, He felt it. When they laid the stripes on His back, and you know the Scripture says it's by His stripes that we're healed, He felt it. He quivered and He squirmed, but He did it because He loved you. But if you're going to come to Him, now folks, He's God. We're not. The Bible talks about how many of you, by taking thought, can add to your height one cubit. Anything you can do to change? See, I didn't choose to be born who I am. But I'm so thankful that I heard the Holy Spirit's call. I can't change anything about me. If I go to the doctor and they say, well, you know, there's something wrong with your heart, I can't fix it. If they say there's a cell that's malfunctioned and you're eat up with this disease, I can't change it. Who are we? Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and like a flower he withers and fades away. Here's what we are: created by God, for God, in the image of God, to serve and worship God. But here's what it boils down to: He created you with a free will. It's up to you. You can come to Him or you reject Him. And I want to ask you this question. They're going to sing this song. What are you trading for your soul this morning? What are you trading for your soul? As we stand to our feet, if God spoke to your heart, I'm going to ask Brother Tommy to come stand on this side. Ask my wife and Miss Tabitha to come stand over here on this side. These are here to pray with you. Brother Bruce, if you would come out. I want to tell you something. God wants to change your life. He wants to give you something that'll help you say, well, I don't know if I want to come down there. God will meet you the first step you take. The very first. If you'd like to pray, we want you to come and talk to Jesus right now as we sing. Glad I know who I belong to, amen. I'm just glad that we're in a church where God's Spirit moves and people can come talk to Him. You know, there's been times I've told the Lord, I've said kind of like this, Lord, would you send me a text? Send me a fax, send me a letter. Learning how to listen to the voice of God. I'm glad to be in a place that God will speak to me. We're so thankful for the movement. Thank you if you moved this morning. We pray that God spoke to your heart. That's our heart's desire. You know, my heart's desire for this church, I've said it before, I want to see everybody I possibly can get saved. I want to see the devil lose. I want to see every one of our young people saved and grow up to serve the Lord. The world has nothing compared to what God has for them. And I want them to know that. And you know what I want for your life and your home? I want God to bless it. Amen. I want your homes to stay together, and I want you to grow spiritually in your relationship with God so that you could understand the fullness of what it is to live for the Lord. We're going to do one more thing. I'm not going to hold you long. We're going to open the doors of the church. When you can join this church, if you want to be a part of a church body, you can join this church by statement of faith. If you've been a member of a like faith church, a Baptist church, and you've been baptized, you can join this church by statement. You can join this church and become a new member by baptism if you've never been baptized. And we want to welcome you. We're going to sing one verse or play Amazing Grace, one verse. And if it's this time, if you'd like to come be a part of this body, we welcome you as we sing this song. Play this song.